three main topics for this meeting. The first two are what I imagine will be relatively quick votes, and then kind of our annual review and plan, which we've posted on the blog and we sent out earlier this week. So the first item is voting on adding Jake Gibson to the board of directors. So Jake is the co-founder of NerdWallet, and he's someone who we've known now for about like 6 months, I think, and he's given us a bunch of helpful management and operational advice. He's talked to, I think, Tom, Rob, and possibly Bridget over the phone. And so, I mean, we're putting him forward as a potential board member, and just wanted to see if anyone wanted to ask any questions about, you know, of him or about him before we vote.
I should say I fell down on the job and screwed up having a conversation with Jake. So he seems like a lovely guy.
I did talk to Tom.
The fault is mine for not Jake's for that.
So if you want to ask more questions to do some extra due diligence, given Rob's failure,
yes,
we should please go ahead.
You can just interview him now, and we'll just listen. I'll do it.
Well, if no one has any questions, I think the thing to do is just to email Holden with your vote, you know, yes or no on or abstain, I guess, on adding Jake to the board, and then we'll like tally the votes after the meeting and let everyone know what the final count was, if that sounds good.
So I'll try not to read it off the screen over here.
I'm in the car, so I may, Tom, I'm in the car, so I may have to email after the meeting's over, but I'm going to vote yes.
Okay. Thanks, Tom.
Woohoo. Unless that's a code, the two of us.
All right, great. So we'll move on to the next item. So this is that we're creating a 403B retirement plan for GiveWell employees. 403B is just the section of it's the same thing as a 401K, but it's the section of the tax code for nonprofits. The company we're working with told us we're required to pass a formal board resolution. That's why we're voting on this. GiveWell is not planning to match any contributions to the plan, so we're setting this up like solely for employees to be able to save for retirement through the, you know, this mechanism. GiveWell is paying the fees of the plan, and I think those are about, it's either $1,000 or $1,500 a year plus 8 basis points, so 8% of 1% of the assets in the plan. That's our plan for now, for GiveWell to cover those. It's possible that we would change that in the future. So I sent through the details of the plan in an email earlier this week, and we're going to vote on that now. But if anyone has any questions, please go ahead and ask.
I've got a general question. This is Rob, for those of you on the phone. This is less about the details of the 403B plan, but rather about your noting that GiveWell is not making any matching contributions. And in light of the fact that GiveWell has been hiring, seeks to continue to hire, do you have a sense whether or not, in past experience and projecting into the future, how generous the retirement plan turns out to be from the perspective of current employees and potential new employees, and whether or not, I mean, do other comparables for similar size 501c3s, is it just completely standard thing not to offer a match? Is it not a standard thing to offer a match, and you're an outlier?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, the way that we've thought about this is that it seems like we can either offer, you know, the employees a match, mm-hmm. and or pay them in salary. And it doesn't seem obvious to us the benefit of offering the match rather than just paying it in salary. But I don't know.
But the psychological nudge of a match.
I don't know about there's the psychological nudge. There's the fact that,
We're
the psychological.
Too rational for nudges.
There's the psychological nudge, and there's the fact that, you know, I don't know whether it's like standard or not for nonprofits.
And has it ever come up in a recruitment, retainment, or recruitment?
No, this has come up like we have a place internally for employees to say like, here's something that like I think could be better at GiveWell, mm-hmm. and so the absence of a 401k plan is something that came up in that topic. I mean, it was obviously something we knew of as a standard benefit we were not offering.
Right.
The match has never come up.
I mean, I would just suggest then monitoring that in some respect, and if it's not a huge expense of time to find out whether a comparable size 501c3, how standard or not standard it is, to have no match, that would be good. And then if it really is just in your view a trade off, which I'm sure it is from the standpoint of budgetary, how you manage a match versus just increasing salary. If that itself is communicated to the folks who work here.
Yeah, so we actually talked about it today, and I don't remember how it came up, but that was the message. It's like, look, we're not planning to match this. Right. It was actually like proactively something that we brought up because it was in the materials that the company had sent us because matches are common, and we said that it's just a trade-off between salary and match.
Got it.
But I'll note that down to check what it'd be nice to know, like what we've done, like kind of very unsystematic surveys of similar organizations and what benefits they offer, and right. I don't remember the answer on this one in particular.
And again, hardly a high priority thing, but if Holden is right that you rationalists here, it's completely indifferent between a nudge and a higher salary. Well, find out in a year or two, see what your employees are doing with their own contributions to the plan.
Yeah, definitely. Great. So maybe we could just email these votes in as well to make the voting easy, unless there's any other questions on the 403B
plan. And you want that to hold into?
Yeah.
Do you want an update on the first vote?
Hold it in. We don't want to know what happened. Yeah. Just keep this guy sweating. It's much better that way. He's so nervous. So that covers the like official business of this meeting. Like I said in my email, there's some business we need to get back to related to the relationship between GiveWell and Good Ventures and the Open Philanthropy Project and our budget. And we decided to punt on that to the next meeting because we just didn't have the capacity to put that together and have a good conversation about it now. So that's definitely still on the list and something we'll discuss in the future. What we were hoping to talk about for the duration of this meeting is take any thoughts, questions, or comments that people had on our annual review and plan. There's, no vote needed. This is what, how we evaluated our work last year and what we plan to do in the coming year. And we'd appreciate hearing from you, what, if any, questions or thoughts you have on that content that we put out.
Did people get a chance to read it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The preview that you sent us?
Phil? This is Phil?
Yep.
Yeah.
A couple things. One, there's a lot. Wow. I read all this beforehand, and then I didn't start looking at it until not too long ago. And I was like, ooh, there's a lot to read. Mm-hmm. One thing that was missing in there, and I don't know if it was inadvertent or if it's just not quite done yet, the metrics review, I guess, which would have information on web hits and our unique users and all that kind of good data.
Yeah, that's right.
That
is something we're still working on. We just haven't finished that report yet. I'm happy to give you like a high level view of it, as long as you keep in mind that I might be I might be getting some of the numbers wrong because they're just off the top of my head. If you want to wait, I think we expect that post to come out in about a month, and it tends to take longer than these other ones because the narrative annual review and plan are posts that, we have all the information we need and we can just write them and put them out. The metrics post requires us going back to donors to survey them on, what they would have done in GiveWell's absence, which is part of our metrics report, and how they found GiveWell, which is part of our metrics report. It also requires us going to some of the charities we recommend to try and track down donations that were made to those charities as a result of our research that we didn't know about before, because donors gave directly without notifying us about the gift. So that delays the metrics report. But Phil, do you want...
If you want to just touch on any of the high point numbers that you can remember, and also like web traffic and that kind of stuff as well, as much as you can remember, give...
Yeah, so I mean, I think like...
About the imprecision.
Yeah, so I think like the high level is that overall money moved to top charities was I think these numbers actually were in one of the blog posts, but overall they were, it was like $28 million this year compared to $17 million in 2013. And excluding Good Ventures, Money Move was around 12 and three quarters million dollars this year relative to $8.1 million in 2013. So there was, you know, good overall growth, but, you know, we were pleased with the growth from non-Good Ventures donors. I think that web, like, visitors to our website, unique visitors, were up by approximately 10%, excluding the AdWords visitors. So if you remember, we have a grant from Google that they give to nonprofits that provides a very large amount. It's $40,000 a month worth of free AdWords. And so that tends to drive a lot of traffic. We've excluded that from our, you know, we include it in the, like, overall report. I think it's worth excluding from thinking about how GiveWell's influence is growing, because we have a lot of control over whether we want to send, like, low quality traffic through AdWords or whether it's not worth it. And we sort of downgraded how much we were sending low quality traffic through this past year. But I think, like, the general traffic was up about 10% year over year. If I'm remembering correctly. Any, Phil, did that answer your, other high level questions?
Yeah, I'd seen the dollar numbers. I just hadn't, I was curious about the website number.
Got it. Yeah, so that will all be coming out, I think probably about a month from now is the right time frame to expect.
What's the timeline for the new website launches?
So it's still expected to be mid-April. I think we have like a pretty realistic shot of like hitting May 1st, because we haven't like seen many delays, and I think the company that we've worked with has done, they've done a pretty good job like keeping on schedule and keeping us on schedule.
Yeah, I think hopefully we'll only be a few months behind Peter Singer's book and ahead of all the other books.
A few weeks behind.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
How about a general hiring update in terms of how you're thinking about staffing up Open Philanthropy?
Yeah. So there's like kind of two pools of people we're hiring. There's like generalist staff who are more like entry level and would come in and initially work on GiveWell and then potential like longer term work on either GiveWell or Open Philanthropy. And that's, you know, the main type of hire that we've been making over the last few years. And then there's like senior hires potentially for Open Philanthropy. Mm-hmm. On the GiveWell side, or the generalist entry level side, you know, we're planning to bring on somewhere between like 5 and 10 additional entry level ish analysts by the end of the year. We're 18 full-time staff now, so that's a pretty big jump.
Yep.
You know, we have continued to find ourselves in this position where we have way more work to do than we can do with the staff we have.
Yep.
And the ability to like bring people on and train them so they can add value relatively quickly. And so I think that, and the staff that we, you know, we've brought on roughly 13 people over the last 2 years. We went from 5 to 18 since early 2013. And, you know, so as those people move on and take on, well, and by move on, I mean take on additional responsibilities within GiveWell, you know, we need to also sort of backfill the capacity that they had on the more entry-level tasks. So this, you know, we're bringing on these 5 to 10 people. I think that the long-term or the medium-term vision for what all these people work on, you know, one is just as, you know, as GiveWell's influence grows, we have more general administrative work related to outreach and donation processing and incoming requests. And so I think that itself is, you know, we've probably gone from needing like half of a full-time person a year ago to needing like 2 people on that type of thing right now. We're also trying to bring people on to do a better job. This is a position we've advertised as the outreach associate. But do a better job communicating with current and prospective donors, mm-hmm. Which is something we do like for the largest donors right now, but it's nothing similar to what the average nonprofit would do for someone giving a substantial amount, you know, right. Someone giving a few $1,000s to GiveWell like probably doesn't hear from us in any personal way. And I think that is like just leaving a lot of potential impact on the table. And we think we can bring people on to help us with that. The balance of those entry level people, I think, you know, them or people who are now on GiveWell like end up probably like supporting the Open Philanthropy Project. I think that like if I had to, I mean, Holden, I don't know if you'll agree with this, but if I had to just guess at like the size of GiveWell's traditional work, I don't think we're going to go like much more than like 20 people. Mm-hmm. You know, we probably have like 11 or so working on it right now. Like there's not a huge room for growth there,
right.
Unless something fundamentally changes. But I think that Open Philanthropy will need a lot of the type of capacity that GiveWell has needed.
Right.
And so we envision a lot of the people we're bringing on playing a role in Open Philanthropy,
yep.
doing much of the same type of work that people have done on GiveWell. And so that is, you know, in when we identify potential organizations for grants, doing the due diligence on those organizations, asking them questions, writing up the grant pages, you know, why we're making the grant, what the risks of the grant are, and then conducting the follow-up, in addition to the broader like cause level research that has gone from very undefined, very hard to figure out how to do that work, that's where it was 2 years ago, to like a much more defined process today.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we're way behind on the like even executing on this open philanthropy work that I think
right.
we could
right.
with a type of capacity that we think we can like bring on and train.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, but like we can make it happen. And so that's a lot of what we're thinking with the hiring.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's kind of on all the entry level generalist staff, and I'm happy to talk about that more if you're interested. And then on the open philanthropy side, you know, we're trying to hire, this is all in the like blog post, right? But I mean, we're trying to hire.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, we've done a lot of work on global catastrophic risks and policy-oriented philanthropy,
right.
And we're trying to hire, you know, people who can really lead our strategy in one of the areas that we see as potentially very promising.
Yep.
And so those could be in policy, criminal justice reform, macroeconomics, and I think
right.
factory farming is like the third one that's most likely, and then in global catastrophic risks, biosecurity.
Yep.
And so a lot of what, you know, a lot of what Alexander and Howie are working on right now, Alexander in policy and Howie in global catastrophic risks, is trying to find this senior level hire.
Yep.
And that, I mean, that's going to be, you know, potentially very valuable for open philanthropy, but also like very difficult to find the right person
right.
to fill this role.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Can I ask a question? I was a little confused or unclear maybe on something as I was reading through some of the stuff. Is your vision of how open philanthropy will work a year, two, three down the line, whenever it's full steam, is it essentially similar to the GiveWell model, where it's research and making recommendations on donors giving to charities? I guess it doesn't seem like that. It seems like it's more. Do you anticipate OPP requesting grants from folks? Do you anticipate OPP fulfilling grants, granting the money out to places? Do you anticipate more of a direct action where you might be much more directly involved in some of these things and being sort of a paymaster for folks doing the ultimate research and action? How does sort of the OPP model compare to what we've kind of gotten used to with GiveWell?
I mean, I would say it's still somewhat up in the air, but I think the basic model is that we will, you know, we will behave like a large funder, and then we will write up why we're doing what we're doing, and then we'll try to use that to advocate for how other funders can behave. So I don't think we want to rule out any of the tools. Like, sometimes funders put together a convening on their own. Sometimes they will, you know, make a grant with conditions. Sometimes they'll, you know, recruit people to form an organization. That's actually something I've been surprised by how many cases of this there are and how well some of them have gone. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's... It's all options are on the table. The model is that we do things, we write about them, and then we try to, you know, advocate to others to do the things that we think they should do. So I think there are a lot of things a funder can do, and we're not trying. It's not a like we recommend charities necessarily. It can be like one of the big things a funder can do is support existing organizations, which is not the only thing.
And currently, just to kind of answer a narrow part of your question, Open Philanthropy Project team members like Holden, Alexander, and Howie source grant opportunities and recommend the grants to Good Ventures, who makes the grants. In the future, it could be like more than one donor where the actual funding comes from, but the Open Philanthropy Project team continuing to work like the staff of a foundation would on behalf of those donors.
And the more than one funder would be something that Good Ventures is likely to be stitching together, or the Open Philanthropy Project will itself try to accomplish?
I believe the latter. This is a longer term vision.
Yeah.
I'm like a part of this, right. But I am like the main decision maker along with my board, and also a member of the Open Philanthropy Project team. So I don't see like too much of a distinction there, but I do think it's like we are trying to build the Open Philanthropy Project as an institution and a force in philanthropy, and like that's going to be like, as far as the brand goes, that's going to be like front and center, and I think Adventure's brand is going to take a more of a back scene.
I don't know whether this is behind the question, but board members, I'll just speak for myself, who are searching for an analog to working out what it is you guys are trying to accomplish. Perhaps there actually is no analog. This is just a brand new kind of undertaking. But whether or not to describe Open Philanthropy Project as somewhere in the ballpark of program officers that are building out strategy for grant making, or analysts trying to get lots and lots of other people to give money away in the way that this, very highly specialized set of recommendations now comes out. When Holden, you say, first we're going to do some stuff, and then we're going to write about it. Well, that doesn't describe many foundations. So
I think it's just the write about it part that doesn't describe other
foundations. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
but therefore this model is like not anything that, like I understand you could say it's something new. I mean, that's what it's designed to be. But it's not like, the components are pretty easy to understand. It's like two things that are both pretty well defined. Like what, it's like we do things just like other foundations, and then we write about it, which is also like a pretty easy thing to understand. Like, as far as this structure of, I mean, Carrie just pointed out to me over Slack that there's like, there's an organization, there are organizations that have like various structures that are kind of complicated in terms of like who recommends the grant and who makes the grant. Like, that's also nothing new, but that to me is also just like the most trivial aspect of all this. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, right. I think it's like a variation on models that exist, but I do think we're like, I don't know of anyone who does things quite the way we do.
Yeah.
Right. So I think, I agree it's something new, but I don't think it's like, I think you can put it together from components that are pretty concrete.
Sure, but I don't think you disagree with this when you say, well, we do what foundations do, except for that writing about it part.
Yeah.
And the
that's a big deal.
Sure, I definitely think it's a big deal.
And, and the sector agnostic cause selection.
Yes, yes. Also a big deal.
Yeah, also a big deal. Yeah.
Really big deal.
I think, I hope because this thing isn't like driven by like, unlike a traditional foundation, not driven by Dustin's and my personal interests, but rather this like sector agnostic, very highly transparent approach that will, be a foundation that attracts other donors and make it like more possible to collaborate than it might be if it were something that was driven by our interests. So.
Yep. That's why it seems to me potentially to matter how it is that what the Open Philanthropy Project analysts, how they're described and what their work is seen as from a public perspective, not from how you interact with them, but from some outside point of view.
Mm-hmm. And we call them program officers right now.
Right.
And we're recruiting, the people we're recruiting, the title we're using in the job description is program officer, although that's negotiable if like someone more.
But program officer for Open Philanthropy Project, not for Good Ventures.
For Open Philanthropy Project, exactly.
Yes, got it.
So other questions?
Someone's asking a question.
This is Tom. I would just say that I think, you know, the conversation that just took place about OpenPhil is sort of part of the biggest question that's in front of us right now, which is what is OpenPhil and how will it develop? And there's some things about it which are well defined. There are things about it that are not well defined. And, you know, especially that I'm personally content with sort of seeing how it shapes over time. You know, I don't have endless patience with that, but I have a fair amount of patience for it. But I think it's important to realize that what Rob said is true. Whereas you know the driving values and impulses behind OpenPhil may be clear in the staff's and the governing body's mind, but communicating that in some form is going to be important, and I think there's some work to do on that. Not just in operations, but really in sort of the sectors that are covered and the topics that's covered. Some of them are really exciting, and they're obviously kind of orthogonal to other stuff that's happening in the charity world, and other things seem to be kind of going over well-trodden ground, and it's important to sort of say what's OpenPhil's take on this, even though there's a lot out there on a particular topic. So maybe we're getting into the topic for next time, but mm-hmm. I think it kind of is the biggest topic in front of the board, personally.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think we're... that is something that we have kind of made a goal for the next board meeting, and, you know, we just weren't able to get to it this time, but...
And, I mean, to... just to note that, like, we are having, you know, these conversations and just haven't come to a resolution on all of, you know, the questions that we'd want to come to a resolution on before... having the conversation with the board. I feel a little weird. I'm kind of like speaking for Polonella right now, but those steps are being taken. It's just progress is being made. It's like all I want to communicate. It's not that we haven't done anything since the last board meeting, and you know, we'll pull it all together in the week before the next board mm-hmm. meeting. That's not the case.
And I'm fine with that, and I'm glad to hear you guys talking about it. I'm looking forward to a really good substantive, knockdown, drag out conversation next board meeting.
I'm looking forward to kind of a superficial conversation, so we'll see who gets their way.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for articulating my thoughts. Yeah.
This is Bridget. I have a different question, or a question about a different topic, if that's okay, to shift away from that conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. At the end of your, one of the blog points, it says, fundraising remains a priority and outreach is still not a top priority for us. And I just was wondering how those two things jive with your staffing. I guess my first question is, when it comes to fundraising, I would imagine it's the co-founder's staff time that is dedicated toward that, and I'm wondering how much, like, just as we see you're trying to free up the co-founder time for research, like, what's the role of the amount of time you have to spend on fundraising in it? And then considering those, what you said about fundraising being a priority and outreach not a top one, why you are hiring then an outreach associate?
Yep. All good questions. So, fundraising and outreach. So the way that we are, I'll try to answer these kind of in different ways. So when we say fundraising is a priority, I mean, we are, I know we're not going over a budget right now, but the kind of general picture is that, you know, we remain in a situation where we feel, like safe with the funds that we currently have and our projections for what staff will be and what funds will come in, but to some extent feeling that way requires funding to continue to come in. We're watching it very closely. But it is what we want to communicate to our audience is that they should not perceive us as you know, not needing funding or, you know, having sufficient funds in the bank, that people who follow us and support us don't need to give. We want them to know that, you know, that remains an important need of ours. We're not spending, you know, neither Holden nor I nor anyone else is spending a significant amount of time fundraising right now. You know, one of the experiences we've had very consistently throughout GiveWell's history is that, you know, we've often, the amount of time we've put into fundraising historically has not been highly correlated with the funding that comes in. And, you know, instead, when we've been very explicit about the fact that fundraising is a need, in particular, just through talking to, like, a small group of larger donors or making this publicly known, the funding that we've budgeted for has come through. So in this post, we're trying to communicate, you know, fundraising remains important to us, but we're not making it a big priority to spend a lot of time trying to drum up funding however we can. On the outreach thing, you know, when we talk about prioritization, a lot of what we're thinking about is this a high enough priority in the organization that, you know, time that could otherwise be spent on pushing another major goal of GiveWell's forward should be allocated to that thing? You know, are we prioritizing appropriately? So for GiveWell this year, the big picture, like, top time priorities are building capacity for the organization as a whole and you know, maintaining and, to the extent we can, slightly improving GiveWell's traditional work with that new capacity while making significant advances on the open philanthropy research side. Those are our, like, big goals. And to make outreach a major priority of ours would require allocating some of the staff who would otherwise be involved in those two major goals to outreach. And so in that way, you know, this is not the year that we're going to try to, I don't know, create a ton of new content that's more accessible to the average person who lands on our site, or try to give talks everywhere we can, or try to write a book about GiveWell, which you could imagine getting some attention. Those are all things that would diminish those first few goals. The reason we're hiring an outreach person is that I think we've got to the point in our work with donors that we have enough donors, we have enough experience talking to them, that we basically have what is the equivalent of a full-time job. Talking to donors, answering those questions, and building relationships. And I think that's something that we can likely bring on someone to do without it becoming a large enough time cost that it really diminishes from those two major priorities of GiveWell. And I think we've only gotten to that point relatively recently. So we're hiring for the outreach associate as a, you know, something of a, like, tertiary priority, because it's something that I think can add a lot of value to GiveWell, but won't require a major, won't have a major impact on our ability to really execute on the most important things we need to do this year.
That clarifies it a lot. Thanks.
Cool.
I'm just curious, you said the fundraising goals were achieved. Can you give, maybe there's some confidentialities, but can you give us any detail about how they were achieved? Were there, you know, a couple big donors? Was there, you know, how did you hit your target?
There's no confidentiality issues. I'm not sure that I'm going to, I mean, my, so this could really be wrong. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. But, you know, we got a few relatively large gifts focused on operations from donors who had given in the past. They were, you know, larger than we had anticipated. And, you know, that put us, that was very helpful. And then I think that was probably, like, the biggest driver of like the funding, like the dollar amounts that came in. We also had we created this option on our website for people to give 10% of their gift to our operations and 90% to top charities. A number of people took us up on that, and we continued to see like a number of people, you know, new people just give to support us unrestricted rather than give to top charities, because you know that's something that we've made a much more like it's not front and center, but it's more front and center than it used to be. Where the ask for GiveWell used to be very straightforward, like only give to top charities, we've made it easier for people to find the fact that, you know, if you really follow us, if you know us well, we think supporting us unrestricted is a good thing to do. It's I think the best thing to do. And so I think that has also continued to bring in like some amount of funding.
That sounds really encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, we know, just for whatever it's worth, I mean, we understand that our fundraising experience has been extremely unique in the nonprofit world. And it's one of the reasons we understand that it may not always continue in exactly that way. And it's, you know, we're trying to be on top of that. But, you know, so far we've been fortunate that when we say to our audience, you know, this is something that would make a big difference to us, it's really important, people tend to come through. And that continued at the end of last year.
When's the next board meeting?
I think it'll be in June.
June, okay.
Or I think we're sending out an email about it to schedule like the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. So June, July, probably. Mm-hmm. Anything else in the room on the phone?
I had a bunch of questions about this stuff, but it's mostly like background information stuff that I'll probably just talk to one of you two individually about.
Okay.
Not waste everybody's time.
Cool. All right. Anything else from the folks on the phone? There's nothing else here in the office. All right. Well, great. You know, thanks so much, everyone. We'll take the benefit of having the short meeting this time around before our knockdown, drag it out meeting next time, where we have a superficial conversation.
Superficial, very superficial.
Exactly.
Yeah. Somehow it'll be both.
All right.
That's what we're having, isn't it?
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Have a good evening for all of you on the wet East Coast or in the middle of the country, and talk again soon. Thanks, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks.